Hey, Michaela. How you doing?
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Yes. Give me your best Jared impression.
Oh. I'd have to think. I'm not in a very improvisational mood. I was going to do a funny voice, though.
Do it.
Hello, this is Spencer. I'm 12, and I really like Survivor. I was wondering if you were going to watch the newest season together, because that's what I'm watching.
You know what the funny part is? The guy who goes home in this episode, name is Spencer.
Oh, that is funny.
Vibe in. Jared, vibe with me.
Vibe. Oh, the mic's not anywhere near me.
Not even close.
Okay. I have scotch, cheese cubes, crackers, and some spunk. Oh, that's not what that means.
Nope.
Gumption is what I meant.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that is not recommended by 9 out of 10 dentists. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared, you like that one?
That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a good one, Stephen. I'll give you that.
Yay. How you doing, Jared? Long time. I've definitely seen you.
We've been together all day.
Yeah.
This is the Survivor podcast at night.
At night.
Most of the day.
What are we doing, Jared?
We started our beach volleyball league.
Hell yeah.
Beep, 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 beep. It was fun.
Yeah.
I had fun. Did you have fun?
Yeah. Other than that one time I got straight up tackled.
Yeah.
Didn't like that.
Not by someone on our team, at least.
No. Came through the net.
Yeah.
Right at the ribs.
You got him back, though.
I did. I stuffed him at the net.
That was pretty good. Yeah, I played with this team, I got together people from the last league I played in, and then you and someone else that I knew. And, you know, we have some work to do translating from indoor to beach. It is different. I've done beach, but nobody else besides you and me have. It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
Plus, we're just having fun.
We're not going to be the most talented team out there, but we're vibing. And that's really what it's about.
I had some mean serves, which is new for me.
Nice. Yeah. Honestly, the two best runs of serving were you and me. So
I know.
Let's call that a win.
I think next time we need to spread out where we are on the court for that reason.
Probably.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a good time.
Good.
I enjoy doing that with you. This is certainly the most fun I've had with you on a rec team. I think I just like volleyball more than softball.
Yeah. Softball just gets intense sometimes. It's a lot of focus on an individual.
Yes. And with volleyball, you're playing the whole time.
Yeah.
Like softball, you're doing a lot of sitting around.
You sit and you wait.
Yeah. Which, I don't know if you know this about me. Not my favorite thing.
Jared doesn't like waiting for things.
Crazy. Steven, how's your week?
It's been busy. Like, today at work, I moved floors, so I'm just like, I don't know. Every new day is just more work, and I guess that's just how life is.
Every new day is a fresh hell.
But, I don't know. I felt it's been very busy. I haven't been home very much, so feeling a little run down, but not like terribly run down.
Not burnt out.
Know what I'm feeling?
Yeah.
Know what I'm saying?
I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Sure.
I smell what The Rock is cooking.
Yeah, but you know what happens then is I don't get a chance to play video games, and that is a disappointment.
I have not played Expedition 33 in 2 weeks for that very reason.
Jared.
And I'm fucking bummed about it.
That's like your thing.
My show opens on Friday, and then I will have some spare time, and I will certainly be blitzing through the rest of that game.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited to have a little bit of a break. And by a little bit of a break, I mean 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then I'm back into another production process. Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, and then by the time, the day after this episode comes out, I will be a whole another year older.
Yes, happy birthday, Steven.
Thank you.
I'll probably say that like 6 times in the next week
that's
or so.
True. Yeah, because we're doing a little mini celebration on Sunday, and then this is the episode that comes out on Monday, and then my birthday is on Tuesday, so.
And we're recording another episode tomorrow morning.
Sure. Yeah, it's a lot going on.
We got a lot going on. And that's good. I like having a lot going on.
We're busy boys.
I know you don't love having a lot going on all the time.
I like some still time. I like some time to, relax, rejuvenate and get back in it so I can give my fullness to everything.
Oh, my.
That's okay. Yeah, I walked into that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's your fault, not mine. We're also drinking some really nice scotch.
We are.
That Stephen got in Scotland.
Yeah.
Which is where scotch is from.
Scotchland?
I'm pretty sure. I think that's what that means.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I like it. It is funny because I'm more of like a whiskey drinker than Stephen is. So I'm like, yes, it's like smoky and really smooth. And Stephen's like, it's not that smooth. Because he's not used to drinking straight alcohol.
I don't drink whiskey very much. Yeah. But when in Scotland, might as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no.
You went to mix this and I was going to kill you.
A whiskey ginger?
Not with a scotch. You don't mix scotch.
What do I know?
You didn't, though, and I'm proud of you for listening to those more knowledgeable than yourself in this one area and only this one area.
Only this one area. Yeah. It was fun when I was in the store because they were giving me tasting samples and I was just like trying all of them. And yeah, some better than others. Some were like really, really smoky. This one kind of turned it down.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a nice like introductory level scotch, I feel like. And scotch is not my go-to whiskey either. Like, I'm more of a bourbon guy myself, but I went years and years ago to a bachelor party in Portland, and we stopped by the whiskey library and tried some different scotches. It was really cool.
What happens in the whiskey library? Do you check out whiskeys?
What happens at the whiskey library stays at the whiskey library, Steven.
Is there a whiskey librarian?
I think that is what the really? Servers are called. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
If I remember correctly, but I probably don't.
Okay, well. We're just going to... Our headcanon, whiskey librarian.
If it's not, it should be.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Is there a library card? I guess it'd just be your ID.
Maybe your membership card?
Mm.
If you're like a local? We were not, obviously.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you do have to make a reservation for like the library. So we had like a small table. We had forgotten to make a reservation.
Boo.
Yeah. That was a bummer. But it was a good time. I really enjoyed it. And that I will say, bachelor party in Portland was pretty fun. It was 2021, so it was one of those things where it was like, okay, we're doing this so we can like rent a house and quarantine if we have to. It was like summer of 2021, so it was like in that kind of gray area where it's like, well, people are vaccinated, but we don't know how good that is yet, and maybe there's new variants. And so we planned a lot of outdoor stuff.
Sure.
But it was nice.
You know what you don't need a reservation for? Emails. If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT, or on Patreon. Now, Jared, right out of the gate, as you grab the cheese.
Shut up.
Very not shut up, subtle. Steven.
Nobody can know that I'm eating cheese. I didn't get dinner because we played beach volleyball for 3 hours.
Yeah, I could have.
Okay. We just kind of. We hung out before the game to like warm up and like practice, Steven and I, and then went right into a 3-game set. So, anyway.
The big thing being that I've gotten multiple messages. Oh my God, everything is a disaster right now. I've gotten multiple messages, and I am going to kind of condense and just say what everyone is thinking. We have a cast of Survivor 50.
Uh-huh.
Jared, I need you invested for this.
Okay, that I'm in. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am very engaged.
Okay. Well, we have a cast of Survivor 50, and I feel like a lot of people were disappointed.
Oh, that's a bummer.
We got more 40 to 49 than I expected.
Oh, that sucks.
Which I don't think it sucks. I think it's just... It's a casting decision that they made that I don't necessarily agree with.
Going like new era, like post Winners at War heavy.
Well, like, I like the idea of having new era players play again because they've literally never had the chance to play again.
Sure.
However, I don't think you should throw new era winners in the pool because...
Oh, yeah.
They're, by all means, they're cannon fodder.
Yes.
In my opinion, they're cannon fodder.
It's all stars all over again.
Yeah, and like, why would you want a winner to make it far unless they're part of your plot, part of your plan?
I'm worried about that for Winners at War, to be honest. Or, sorry, not Winners at War. That one obviously is not a problem. About
I have to get rid of all the winners.
I'm worried about that for Heroes versus Villains, rather.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, though. We do have some old school contestants, but I only have one that I can tell you.
Oh, from 18 seasons? Or I guess 17, because you're not going to talk about one from Token Sheens.
In 2 seasons, I can get back to you with a couple more.
Oh, okay, sure. That makes sense.
But at the moment, just one player that has finished their Survivor career and is coming back.
Is it Michelle from Fiji?
No.
Oh, damn.
No, it's actually one that I didn't really expect. It's kind of a wild card. It is Jenna Lewis Daughtry from Survivor Borneo and Survivor All-Stars.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Isn't that nuts?
She didn't do great at All-Stars, but it has been 20 years. So, yeah, okay.
I'm conflicted because I'm wondering if she's going to be a target for being old school since there's so many new school players.
I think she'll be a target for being an older woman.
It just could be too.
In the tribal phase of the game.
Yeah. How old is she?
I mean, she was in her 20s in Borneo, and that was 25 years ago. So, you know, she's in her mid to late 40s, maybe early 50s, depending.
Pulling up Jenna Lewis age. Okay, she's not that old. She's 44.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. As of 2021, she is
48, 49.
Yeah. So, Survivor contestant up there.
Yeah.
But not Rudy levels of up there.
Well, no, I didn't think that.
Who knows?
Time?
She played with Rudy.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
That's not the one I would have expected. But I kind of wish they would have given more older contestants, like from older seasons, a shot that didn't make the cut for Second Chance. Or, use people that were close to the vote on Second Chances that didn't quite get in. Like, that's a bummer.
Yeah. Well, there are some bigger names that are coming. And some names that, you know, are very relevant to us at the moment.
Oh, some people from Token Sheens?
There's at least one.
Okay, interesting.
So,
have they revealed the entire cast?
They have revealed 22 of the 24 contestants.
24 is so many.
They've never done 24.
Okay.
It's a lot. I'm wondering if it's 4 tribes.
I mean, that would make sense, right? That's 8 people. No. That's 6 people a tribe? That's 6 people a tribe. Yeah.
They could either do 3 sets of 8 or 4 sets of 6.
Yeah, okay.
And I kind of want it to be 4 sets of 6.
I mean, fuck it. Do 40.
Do 40 do contestants?
Yeah, 4 tribes of 10. Fuck
That's it. Too much.
Only 1 tribe wins immunity.
That's... Oh. Okay. I was going to say it's too much, but you had me there.
That could be interesting.
Could be interesting. Yeah.
You'd get a lot of people who don't get any spotlight, but for attorney season, sure, fuck it, why not?
Yeah, let me just, I'm not going to tell you who, but we've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these players play. 6 total players of our 24.
Oh, okay, that's a decent amount, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, I'm excited.
I am too. I am baffled that they're bringing the winner of 48 back.
Whoa, yeah, that's a bad decision.
I agree, but what do I know? Okay, anyway. So thank you to everyone who emailed me or messaged me directly. I just wanted to, put a general out there.
General out there.
Thank you. Your message was appreciated, and I just didn't respond to anyone because I was very overwhelmed by it all.
Now, why have they not revealed 2 of them?
Because 2 people are pulling a...
Back-to-back?
A back-to-backer.
Oh, okay.
Which, man.
When you have this many seasons, there's no reason to have people pull back-to-backers.
But here's the thing. It's not as physically grueling as when...
True.
People have done it in the past.
Yeah.
When Amanda did it.
I know why they did it. I wish personally they would have done, and who knows, maybe I'll change my mind when we're there, but wish they would have done all pre-40 casting.
I wish it would have been an even split.
50-50?
Yeah.
Oh, it's more than 50-50?
That's what I think. Hold
on. Oh, Jesus.
Bring it back. Going down my list.
They probably brought Jenna back.
Oh, it actually is 50-50. Hold on. I screwed that up. Okay.
They probably brought Jenna back because they wanted Borneo representation, like, for the, like, how iconic that is.
Mm-hmm.
And she's one of the only people that would be, like, young enough still to do it.
Here's the thing, too, just to spark your intrigue a little bit. You know that season that you've said on air multiple times that you've definitely seen?
Yeah.
Three contestants.
Whoa. Okay. Mike White's got to be one of them.
I will say nothing.
Okay. Fascinating. That's a good season.
It is a good season. I mean, there's a reason why they pulled three, but I don't know that you should pull three from any season.
I agree.
Including 48.
I agree.
Which they pulled three from. That's... People are pissed off about that in particular.
That's fair.
But anyway, I will move on. First email from Tyler. Tyler says, Survivor Gabon, fun fact about the final vote. In 2019 interview, Jeff Probst explained how the original votes were almost not read live. A former producer who was in charge of bringing the votes to the finale forgot to bring them.
What?
A crew member, Chris Campbell, one of the only three producers who knew the combination to the safe where the votes were kept, rushed the CBS offices on a motorcycle 30 to 40 minutes before the live show. He broke through a glass panel of the locked production office, collected and faxed the votes to another producer, Dan Munday, who traced the votes by hand. The votes were successfully reproduced shortly before the live show, about 2 minutes before the votes were about to be read. Campbell returned with the original votes, and Probe swapped out the traced ones with the authentic ones mere moments before he headed on stage. If that's true, that's bananas.
See, I want that. I don't want Jeff on a jet ski going past the Statue of Liberty. Get me that guy breaking into the office.
Yeah, I want a documentary about that guy.
I would love a documentary about Survivor, of like all of the fuck shit behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. On her Heroes versus Villains profile, Sugar listed Bruce as the Survivor player she respected most.
That's a weird choice.
Isn't it? And Corinne as the player she respected least.
Honestly,
that makes
same.
A lot of sense.
Same. I think in 18 seasons, outside of like sex pests, Corinne is like my least favorite contestant.
Candace from Cook Islands also listed Corinne as the player she respected least.
That makes sense, too.
Yeah. Gabon was ranked 28th out of 40 by EW, the second worst season by The Examiner, only ahead of Fiji, and the second worst season by The Wire, 34th out of 40 by the Purple Rock podcast, eighth worst season on the fan rankings for Survivor Oz in both 2012 and 2013, but then was voted the 10th best season in 2014 and 7th best in 2015.
What the fuck?
What is going on here?
Divisive.
In 2015, it was voted 23rd out of 30th by the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast, and then 26th out of 40 in the 2021 update. In 2020, it was ranked 20th out of 40 by Inside Survivor, right down the middle.
Yeah, okay.
Hmm. And 2024 was ranked 42nd out of 47 by TV Line. Man, this is a divisive season.
Yeah. I do think it's one that will, in my mind, will age more poorly. Like, I think when we get to future seasons, I think it's one that I will be like, why is that as high as it is? Because I think the ugliness of it outlives the joy of it.
Sure. Okay. Moving on to Josh. Josh says, the one thing I'll say is every contestant has a fan base. Even the most irrelevant Survivor contestants will have fans that will go to bat for them, especially with the Survivor 50 cast being announced 2 days from now, or when the email came.
Mary from Micronesia does not have any fans, I promise you.
People are arguing in full sincerity for the most obscure contestants.
I mean, I'm being a little facetious, but actually people probably are arguing for Mary because someone, like, she didn't get a shot. Give her another shot.
Someone is going to bat for Peter's holes.
I'm him. That's me. If Peter has no fans, I'm dead.
I mean, we have the Rudy poster up above.
No, we
above
don't.
Our
That's BB.
You're right. It is BB.
Yeah.
How dare I?
Should I get a Peter one too?
No, I don't want. You're not putting Peter up anywhere near this recording studio.
That is one of my favorite, like, bits of all time, was printing out a picture of BB at a Walgreens and framing it and giving it to you.
Because, like, the BB photo just looks like some random, like, that could be my grandpa.
Yeah, that is what it looks like. I think that's what the person at Walgreens thought it was.
Peter has a stare about him.
That's true.
And I have context about him, too, that makes me go, I don't want you in my home.
Get away from my holes, Peter.
No, get away from his holes. Anyway, Carl's episode 2 email. Carl says, when I said TAR7 was one of the least popular seasons of all time, The Amazing Race, got it. It was from the perspective of someone who was on Survivor Sucks back in the day. In this popularity poll from the community, you can see how low it ranks, 28th out of 33 ranked seasons.
Jesus.
I love the back and forth that we have sometimes with our listeners, where someone will say something, someone will be like, ah, that's not true, and then someone comes with data.
You're moderating a Reddit debate live.
It's pretty great. I love you all. But after hearing what the other emailer said, I did some research on general fan opinion.
General fan opinion?
And
I love that you wait for me now.
I did wait on that one. And it does seem to be ranked pretty high in a lot of other places. I guess it's one of those seasons that different communities are split on.
Hmm. I'm sure there's some bias having Boston Rob and Amber on there, too.
That's exactly what the next sentence says.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, in my mind, that itself wouldn't be a good reason to give it a positive review, but I haven't seen the season in ages, so who am I to say? Picture the episode. It's boobs.
It's boobs. It's Sandy saving a horse riding a cowgirl.
Yeah. Just ripping off Erin's bra because she could to hold her still, I guess.
The Sandy, the slutty bog witch.
Notes. The whole thing with Coach is you don't really know whether he's serious or not. How much of what he's doing is a character and how much is real. Sure, he said he was playing a shtick, but he also lied to the university of the soccer team he was coaching by saying that he had cancer and had to go into treatment in order to get on the show. For me, the idea that everything he does is a character takes a lot of the enjoyment out of it, so I choose to believe it's a mix.
Even if it's a character, he chose that character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in that character, which means there's a part of him that can, like, that, like, I've played characters I hate on stage. I didn't method act it for however many days Coach is on this fucking show. And, like, why do you pick a character that's bad? Why not pick a character that people like?
I don't fully agree with the idea that Todd and Parv are disliked as winners. It's true that people thought Saree deserved it more, and they both had villainous shades to their edits, but neither were despised to the point that it cast a shade on the seasons or anything. They definitely didn't come close to the backlash that Chris got. Both were pretty well-respected and decently liked, I would say.
That makes sense.
Taj not only had a famous husband, but was also decently famous herself.
Right, yeah, former pop star.
We talked about, yep.
It's just her name is less recognizable as, like, a pop star, I'm assuming, in a group rather than a famous running back who won the Heisman.
Still not sure why she didn't come up with some kind of Gary Hogaboom-esque lie, though. No, my husband's name is Edwin George. So, yeah, he knows Eddie George. They both went to Ohio State, but he's not Eddie George.
Why not just not, like, give him a fake name? Give him a fake name. Don't say he went to Ohio State. Just say your husband's name is, like, Bob Tyler. Who fucking cares?
I guess Sierra's bonfire lie is the best anyone could come up with given the circumstances.
Digging a giant hole in the dirt. Yeah.
But I still find it hilarious that Debbie not only buys the goofy lie, but is absolutely stoked about it.
100%.
It's pretty darn great.
I mean, to be fair to Debbie, though, like, there's not, like, Sierra hasn't been to exile. Like, why would she think that there was a hidden, that she had gotten a clue to a hidden immunity idol because she got to camp early, especially when Sierra spent all that time building the camp and not looking for the idol? It gives her credibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here you go. The This is from Josh talking about Survivor 50 stuff. I kind of summarized a lot of this. I'm just going to jump to the point that I didn't say. The cast of Survivor 50 is set to be the largest cast in Survivor history with 24 people. Of these 24, six originated from seasons 1 through 18. So six people from Survivor 50 have been covered on the podcast. Additionally, three people from David versus Goliath and one person from 42, which Jared had already seen before starting this podcast. I won't reveal the names here, but if by chance you saw the names online already, you can talk about them if they want.
I have not, though I almost guarantee you that if it's from 42, it's Omar. Like, almost guarantee it.
Okay. I'm going to let you just live in that.
Sure. I'm probably wrong. Yeah. But like, yeah, he was a fan favorite. I loved him when I was watching that season as it was coming out. And like, he would totally play again.
Since Steven seems to be less chronically online, specifically regarding Survivor, I'd ask a quick vibe check on how he feels about the cast of Survivor 50 on a scale of 1 to 10. The overall reception feels negative, but people were going to complain no matter what.
Right, yeah, everyone had their favorites. No, they were not going to make anyone happy with this cast, no matter what they did.
Yeah, I'm going to go with I think I'm going to give it a 6. Like, it's not... There are some people that kind of baffled me. I don't think we should bring back recent winners. I know what they're going for and that they want specific people who are going to play hard, who are characters, who are fitting archetypes. But I want to see people who played a game, played a messy game, didn't do well, have a second chance at this. They're going to play something different than someone who won, who may try to play the same game, who may try to switch it up. Either way, huge target on their back already.
At the same time, to play devil's advocate, although I agree with you, if you're a producer or a casting representative for Survivor, are you, for this big celebration of Survivor's 50th season, are you going to take a risk on somebody that didn't pop the first time? Or are you going to bring somebody on that you know, like, people either loved or hated or, like, generated, like, a reaction?
I think my big counterpoint to that, Amber.
Yeah. Oh, no. I agree with you. It's just, for how many Ambers do you also have, you know, Amy's, who was great in her season, or I guess she made it far in her season or whatever, but, like, didn't have a great return.
Amber, Parv. Like, in the two seasons we've had returners... Returnees, the two people who popped from a lower position, like, were not amazing before, came and won the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
So I want some of these more obscure players. I want people who came in 8th place, came in 7th place, but you're like, you know what? They had something cooking there.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm not gonna sit here and coach from the couch from producers. If they have a plan, I want to see the plan. Yeah. I want to see how this plays out.
I just hope it's not laziness because, you know, I love art through adversity.
Mm-hmm.
And Amber and, to a lesser extent, Parv are kind of art through adversity. Like, they didn't have as many people to pull from. And so if they're looking for, you know, archetypes, in this case, both younger women, they only had so many seasons they could pull successful younger women from their seasons on and took shots on these two. Well, now you have 49 other seasons to pull from. You don't have to take those risks.
What I do like, though, is, as we discovered, it's a 50-50 split of old school. Well, not old school, new school, but new era versus everything beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I think it's going to work that way, because there is a definite divide between old school, new school, where is people from seasons 30 through 39 are way more willing to play with the 40s through 49s than the people who are playing the bully game, the bully pulpit.
That's fair.
So overall, I'm not as upset as a lot of the online Survivor community is. And believe me, I looked online. I was like, whoa, this is real toxic. And then I kind of went out from that. But you know what? I want to see it play out.
Yeah. I think that's the big thing, is just see how it plays out.
Yeah. I will say, a lot of contestants who were in the running were real upset.
Of course they were.
A lot of feelings were hurt.
But also, like, on the flip side, I direct a storefront theater level, but, like, you can only cast so many people. Like, you have, in this case, 24 spots. And I don't agree with all their choices, but, like, I've had to cast, you know, I've had 10 people I've liked for a role before. And you can only get one of the 10 of them. And the other 9, yeah, their feelings are going to be hurt. And frankly, they deserve to be hurt. But the practical reality of it is, I got one spot.
You're right. But I didn't need to drag someone along for like a year and a half in a casting process to cast someone for a show.
Yeah, that's fair. And also the financial incentive. Like, storefront theater doesn't pay shit.
Yeah.
We were working on tiny, tiny budgets and making art as a passion. This is... You know, this could be someone's
reemergence
in, yeah, exactly. Reemergence in the spotlight, other reality shows, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
All right. I'm going to leave emails there. I know we have more, but I think that gives us a good spot and a good chunk that we can talk about tomorrow. Plus,
yeah, a long conversation, but a 50 dropping was, that was going to happen.
It's big news. Yeah. So, Survivor, bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on March 12th of 2009. Honestly, only one thing of note that happened between episodes. Billy Corgan testifies in front of Congress on behalf of the Music First Coalition in support of H.R. 848, performer rights, the Performance Rights Act. I thought this became legislation. It actually didn't. I looked into it. Since we're running long on this stuff, I'm not going to go too deep into it. Basically, it was like a copyright law amendment, protection for public performances. The music industry is, copyright is complicated. This would have made it more complicated. There's arguments it would have been better for artists. Who's to say? Anyway, number one song was the same. And the top five movies are He's Just Not That Into You, Madea Goes to Jail, Slumdog Millionaire, Taken, and then number one in our movie for the week, Watchmen. Steve, have you seen Watchmen?
I have seen Watchmen. I've seen the movie Watchmen, not the series that came much, much later.
The series is very, very good.
I've heard that.
Have you, okay, I won't go on about this too long, but have you heard of the Tulsa Massacre or whatever it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, that was where I learned about that. And for those of you that don't know, basically Tulsa was considered like Black Wall Street in the late 1910s, early 1920s, and the white people of Oklahoma and Tulsa at large basically burned it to the ground and killed a lot of the successful Black families that were running it.
Wasn't it a government sponsored bombing?
Probably. I mean, I don't know all the
I don't mean to go like tinfoil hat on. I'm pretty sure that's common knowledge.
I mean, yeah, I don't know if it was state government, city government, federal government, all the above, or if it was like their active, like if it was an act or if it was just like they knew it was happening and they're like, we'll let that go. But regardless, that's how the show opens and it's awesome. But the movie, in an alternate 1985 America, costumed heroes are part of everyday life. When one of his former comrades is murdered, masked vigilante Rorschach, Jackie Earl Haley, uncovers a plot to kill and discredit all past and present superheroes. As he reconnects with his retired associates, only one of which has true powers, Rorschach glimpses a far-reaching conspiracy involving their shared past and catastrophic consequences for the world's future. Steven, what do you think this rate on Rotten Tomatoes?
At least 3 blue penises out of 5.
God damn it.
No, I think this is a superhero movie that people were not ready for. This had some, like, it's very heavy. It's very, we're judging the world for our crimes, but, like, from this, We're judging from a pedestal. So I'm going to give it a critic score of 55, an audience score of 63.
You're a little low, but not by much. Okay. Critic score of 65, audience of 71.
Okay, yeah.
So mediocre. Consensus is gritty and visually striking. Watchmen is a faithful adaptation of Alan Moore's graphic novel, but its complex narrative structure may make it difficult for it to appeal to viewers not already familiar with the source material. So I think you're right in that audience is just not ready for it yet.
Yeah. Bring that back. I mean, like you said, they did a series. People loved it. Yeah. Maybe they just had the wrong medium.
It was incredible.
Cool. Anything else?
That's it.
Then let us, well, before we get into the episode, I'm going to read this Wikipedia headline for the Tulsa Race Massacre. Was a 2-day-long white supremacist terrorist massacre that took place in the Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma between May 31st and June 1st, 1921, when mobs of white residents, some of whom had been appointed as deputies and armed by city government officials, attacked black residents and destroyed homes and businesses.
Yeah, and that was like 100 years ago. Like, that's not that long ago.
Some of those people could be alive.
Probably not, but...
Probably not.
But as, like, we were alive when they were alive.
That is true.
That's kind of crazy.
Anyway, episode 5, you're gonna want that tooth. Getting real toothy in this episode.
Uh-huh. Well, I want the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth.
Hi, I'm Steven. Nice to meet you. Great bit.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're all about those puns.
All about that bit.
Anyway, speaking of the bit, we open the episode with the world's longest sexual innuendo.
Okay, that's not what I thought you were saying. Oh, I was going to say just like the world's longest recap. Like, Jeff went into every painstaking detail of everything that's happened in the last 4 fucking episodes.
It was a very long recap.
But what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the, all right, we just finished the recap, and then it's, right there. And you're like, Survivor, what?
Like, Fishbox says, basically verbatim.
Oh, yeah, you like that?
I've never brought so much pleasure to a woman.
Oh, my God.
While scratching Taj's back.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
Survivor knew what they were doing, not necessarily Fishbox and Taj.
Yeah, the contestants were just fucking around.
Yeah.
But Survivor knew what it was doing.
Yeah. Taj having a great time. Anyway, says, our alliance is set. We just got to find the idol, and we're feeling great.
Taj, you know where it is. Why have you not gone and gotten it? Girl, I know there's not like a bunch of urgency, but I don't know. Myself, if I knew it was in Tremail, I would try to go get it as soon as possible, because the odds that somebody accidentally stumbles on it while it's a part of Tremail are higher than a normal season.
I actually do like the slow play here. Then you go when it's appropriate for you to go to Tremail. You can take as much time as you need to then.
That's fair.
And it's not suspicious when you come back from Tremail with maybe something a little extra. And people are more focused on what is coming from Tremail than maybe what's in your pocket.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, they do go and look. Taj and Steven go to grab the Tremail.
Taj has a good evil laugh about it.
Taj has a great evil laugh. And now we just have to make it to the merge with everyone intact from R4. But I don't have any pockets. So, Steven, you take the idol.
Taj, I worked at a gas station on third shift in a bad neighborhood.
I want to know where this is going.
And the number of times I had sweaty boob money pulled out is significant. You do have a pocket. It's called your bra. And I know that's not ideal, but it's better than giving anyone else that fucking idol. I know that Fishbox is your closest ally. I don't care. You don't give another soul that fucking idol.
I'm agreeing with you here. Don't do it.
Especially like later in the episode, Fishbox is like, maybe we should get rid of Taj. I'd have the idols myself then.
Uh-huh. It's, what am I trying to draw a comparison to?
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
That is true. Possession is 9/10 of idol law.
And, well, in Survivor, it's 10/10 of the law.
It's just the law.
That's Fishbox idol now, Taj. You fucked up.
Yeah. So anyway, they grab the bottle, they go back, and everything is business as usual. Just right into it.
They play it well.
They do. Theoretically and ostensibly, it's mine, Fishbox says. I'm the one wearing it around my neck.
It's mine. You should take it off your neck before you forget. That would be so embarrassing if somebody walked into camp and was like, they're like, hey, what's that?
Nothing?
No.
At Timbira, Brennan's making fire. Most everyone goes to do something else. And Sierra's like, hey, Deb, you guys need any more help? Any more hands down there? Nah, you're good. Just rest.
They both play it really well.
Great.
The foursome minus Taj at for part of this episode, is playing this incredibly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't, like, I know that there's like, people know that Brendan and Sierra are aligned, but they just gave them alone time.
Yeah.
They just, and from my reading of, like, that Debbie conversation we'll get into later, it's more that they're close. I don't think they think that they're, like, a locked in, like, will work together till the end. I think it's like, oh, yeah, Sierra and Brendan have, like, become friends.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree with you there. Yeah. So, yeah, just, if you don't need me, I'm just going to hang out here. Brendan, what the fuck?
You didn't tell me?
You didn't tell me. You locked me into this four-way alliance, and I had no idea. Were you going to tell me? Yeah, of course I'm going to tell you. And then Brendan tells, I have the idol. We're in this thing together. It's great. Don't worry about it. Sierra's on board.
This has to, for the four of them, especially the ones that are all in, like Fishbox seems like mostly in, but not all the way in. This must be the best feeling a survivor can have, to know that you have this much control over the game. Because the other thing that's really great about this alliance is there's no pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
The four of you, like, there isn't like, oh, Taj and Steven prefer Sierra over Brendan, so now Brendan, I'm on the bottom. Like, it is straight up 2 versus 2 once you've gotten down to that final four, at least right now. And to just, I don't think we've seen people wield this much power secretly before. And it's really cool.
It's nice when you have options.
Yes.
If you see one door closing and you can just jump right into this other door, mm-hmm. Great. That's awesome. Sorry, that just made me think of Squid Game, the new season of Squid Game. Did you watch it? I don't think you did.
No.
Okay.
Is it good?
It was better than I thought it was going to be. Like, it took me a while to get hooked into it.
Okay.
And then it got me, and then it, minor spoilers, sorry. It's not the end.
Oh, okay.
They said it's the last season, and I think it is the last season, but it's one of those with an asterisk. The final season.
Part two. Oh, God. They did an Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
Except with Attack on Titan, you knew it wasn't going to be the end because there was a manga. So you'd be like, hey, they're not wrapping this up in 3 more episodes.
Mm-hmm. No, they did some great storylines. Some of the characters and the character work is really, really good in this season.
Okay.
Anyway. Reward challenge.
Oh, before we get to reward challenge, we also get Sierra being a supervillain in a confessional. And like, I've said it before, I support women's rights and their wrongs. And Taj and Sierra becoming villains, I'm here for it.
Okay.
I like it. I think it's fun.
Sure. Cool. Reward challenge. We are, well, first we walk in, Sandy's voted out, and Coach says, only a matter of time.
What the fuck, Coach?
Speaking of supervillain.
What the, no, condescending prick. I don't know. What, okay. I mean, I guess I don't disagree with him here, but like, what?
Jared's got strong opinions on Coach.
Yeah.
All right. We're playing a very goofy game here. One member is seated on a spinning platform. Another is racing to unspool it. They're essentially just running and pulling a cord. They're Beyblading it up here. And the spinning tribe member has to then race across a balance beam, a pretty lengthy balance beam.
Yeah.
And first one to cross the finish line wins a point for their tribe. First to 3 wins.
It's simple. It's very silly.
It's very silly.
And nobody used the strategy they should have.
Which is?
Unspool it slowly. Why are you pulling it as fast as you can? Don't go that fast. It'll make people less dizzy.
I don't know that I agree with that.
Why?
I think you're right. It'll make people less dizzy, but I don't know that the time saved will actually help, like, will equal the amount of less dizziness.
It depends, because there's one thing that's hard to tell. We get cuts away from when people are dizzy to when they start the balance beam. How much time did they cut there? Of people that are like, oh God, oh, okay, I need a minute. Because if they're sitting there for more than like 90 seconds, no, go slow.
Like, I didn't think anyone was that bad. Although there were some in this challenge where, you know, the iconic look of Miley Cyrus on the wrecking ball?
Yes.
Some people...
Yeah.
Some people had their center of gravity way too far out.
Oh, yeah. Sierra almost got flung into space.
Like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, okay, I'm flying far away from that. My brain is flying far away from the center of gravity.
Well, the other strategy that I only saw one person do, which I think it was Spencer. It was spotting. So, like, when you're a dancer and you're twirling, obviously, Steven, you know this.
Yeah.
You keep your head marked on a point, let's say, like, the projector or whatever, something out over the audience, and you keep your head straight and on that for as long as you can, and then when your body turns far enough, you whip your body, or you whip your head around as quickly as possible and find that spot again, so that you're not just fucking spinning in circles. And Spencer is the only one that does this, and the reason I kind of laughed is because it's a very musical theater thing, and yeah. Spencer admits to us he's gay in this episode, yeah. Which is hilarious in hindsight.
Just kind of fits nicely, doesn't it?
It really does.
Ugh. And I'm gonna give people credit here. Spotting is a skill.
Yes.
Spotting is something that the average person does not know how to do, or if they know about it, they don't know how to do well.
Sure. It's also something you do when you are controlling your spinning. It's probably harder to do when someone else is the one spinning you.
That makes sense. You know who actually is very impressive with their spotting? Figure skaters.
Yes.
Because they have to do it real fast.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I would vom. Anyway, this challenge is just kind of funny to watch.
So we didn't talk about what the reward is.
Oh, yeah,
You go to the Charmin Lounge where they have a toilet and toilet paper and also coffee so that you can shit. The coffee's going to make you shit so that you use the products.
This was my backup intro bit.
I thought it was going to be your bit.
It's a good bit. And just as a whole, Charmin, I'm cool with you sponsoring things. Food, I don't want you sponsoring.
They get you coming and they get you going. This is now the third episode poop has come up.
Oh.
In a row.
Okay, wait. Walk me through that.
Two episodes ago, I talked about having the party where we talked about shitting ourselves.
Okay.
And then Hyper in the Diaper.
Okay. Oh, man.
And now this.
That's three too many times.
This one's the show's fault.
This one is the show's fault.
And the last one was kind of the show's fault. Well, no, because he brought up the Game Changer adult baby diaper. Nope. Whatever. Diaper lovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. It does seem like a good reward.
We could go back to our, I don't even know what season it was, the I pooped.
That's Borneo, my guy.
Was that Borneo?
That was Sean.
I did it.
I pooped. If we were ever going to make t-shirts, that would be the t-shirt.
Really? Is that the t-shirt?
That's where we peaked.
Rough. It's certainly not where we peaked, I can tell you that much. We have gotten much better at this.
That's where we peaked the mics.
That is true. That is absolutely where we peaked the mics. Anyway, the challenge happened. It's funny to watch. Go watch this if you have a spare amount of time.
It's good.
But Jalapa wins, and
Sydney's also really good at this.
Sydney is very good.
She must be a sorority girl that's just used to, like, fucking being drunk all the time. Because she's like, Dizzy? Nah, fuck it.
Have you ever played Dizzy Bat?
No, but I want to. It looks so fun.
It's just silly. Yeah. So they choose to send Brennan to exile. And here's the kicker. Brennan gets to choose someone who has to go to exile from the winning tribe. That means they don't get to enjoy the reward.
Yeah.
And so Brennan, instead of Taj, which has been the go-to, chooses Fishbach to go. And it immediately raises some red flags in Tyson's brain.
But here's the thing. Because I immediately was like, because it does, yes. And Tyson's very perceptive to point this out.
Uh-huh.
And initially I was like, ooh, that's a mistake. And then I ran through every other scenario in my head, and I went, I don't think there's a scenario that wouldn't have raised a red flag for Tyson. Because if it's Taj, well, then he's going to be like, wow, Taj and him have gotten really close and she can get him in with the other tribe. If it's like, he wasn't suspicious of Fishbach specifically.
Uh-huh.
So if he picks anybody else, he's going to have the same thought.
I feel like this is something that you should have talked to your tribe about. Like, all right.
Yeah.
And maybe he didn't want to open that up because he wanted either Taj or Steven.
Which I don't fully understand. It seems like you could, like, just take anybody at that point. Like, the alliance is set.
I would say your second time around, you definitely want to, like, make sure Steven's in on it.
Sure, yeah.
For, like, personal assurances, saying, hey, I know we've never met, but we're in an alliance now. Let's talk, I guess.
Yeah.
But then after that, yeah. Pick whoever the hell you want. You
could probably talk him into Fishbach pretty easily. I don't know. I just think Tyson's really perceptive here, but I do think this is the kind of thing that doesn't make the edit if it wasn't important.
Ooh.
Like, I do wonder how many people have been suspicious of people that have done, like, we haven't seen a lot of these, like, dual exiles, but, like, if they're, people have been suspicious of people, like, getting, when they've gotten kidnapped before or, like, whatever, mm-hmm. we just don't see it because it's not relevant.
Sure. Well, Tyson says, I don't know what's going on in Brennan's head, but he's made a lot of contact with the other tribe. He has some of their respect, and that seems dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, being sent to exile over and over and over again, especially this season, is a giant threat management problem.
Uh-huh. One that you cannot control.
That's, man, exile's tough.
Exile's tough.
Because, I mean, even like we hear it from Jollipow, like, Taj has not made the same connections as everyone else because she spent half the game away from them. Sugar spent, like, a third of Gabon on Exile Island.
Yeah. And like, it's real tough for people who only play this once. It's like, I spent half of my game on Exile.
Yeah.
That's rough, buddy.
I really want them to implement a rule that is you can't go twice in a row to avoid this very situation. Because it's cool, but it does... I'm starting to really feel for the people who are sent there over and over again.
It hinders their game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, at the Charmin Cafe, we get poop pastries. We get a big hammock. They're not actually poop. They just... They are
converting... They're going
to
be.
They're converting it to poop. Taj talks about, I want one of everything. Give me all those pastries. When we win reward, I go to exile. Nice to finally spend some time with my tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed one funny thing from the reward challenge. Oh, it was somebody yelling out, use your arms to balance. No fucking shit.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Thanks.
Back to the Charmin Cafe.
Yeah. They have a great spread of food. They have a good time. They get letters from home, which is unexpected.
And also they spend a long time trying to figure out what it is. I'm like, guys, this is so obviously letters from home.
If you've watched Survivor at all, you know this is letters from
home. Taj says gift certificates. Why would it be gift certificates?
Okay, wait, what kind of gift certificate would they get?
Like Charmin, it'd have to be, right?
Like a Best Buy gift certificate.
Well, Circuit City, this is 2009.
Does Circuit City still exist at that? When did Circuit City go under?
Oh, it might be around this time, actually.
I don't know. I didn't have a Circuit City
anywhere near me. They certainly didn't have the money to be sponsoring Survivor at this point, I don't think.
That is true.
But, yeah, why would it be gift certificates?
I don't know. This feels very early for Letters from Home.
It is. Everything about this season is early. I mean, the next episode on Paramount is a recap episode. It's episode 6. Like you have... An hour long of content cut from 5 episodes? That's, like, that's 10 minutes an episode with commercial breaks.
We're cruising, Jared.
There's a lot going on. I don't hate it. It's just, yeah, everything is really early. I mean, they're already talking about merge.
Hell yeah.
Which could come, like, not next episode, but the episode after that.
Okay.
Or not kind of the recap. Like, one more tribal until merge, they'd be at 10. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, something to think about that it is a smaller cast.
Right.
This isn't a full 20 that we've seen in previous seasons.
And we typically do Letters from Home in the tribal phase. So I guess if they're going to do it, it is early, but also this is kind of the only opportunity.
Yeah. And I feel like it's dependent, too, on if they see a family visit on the horizon or not.
Sure, yeah.
Because I feel like they would push Letters from Home later in seasons where they don't have a family visit.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
In my opinion. Anyway, I did want to talk about a few things in this letter section.
Mm-hmm.
Joe says that's the first time his dad ever said something like, be careful, be safe.
And then he says, or no, it was JT, said that his mom only told him she loved him three times.
Three times his whole life. It said in the letter.
Hey, boomers. What the fuck?
Yeah, maybe show some affection.
That's insane. And it's not one person with two bad parents. It's two separate people. Although JT and Joe, for all intents and purposes, are the same person. With almost two persons worth of teeth between them.
I make a habit of saying I love you to my parents every time I get off a phone call with them.
Same.
Because, like, they are from that generation where they don't always necessarily willingly will just say that. So if I say it to them, then they feel obligated to say it back.
It's Jesus Christ. The repression is so strong.
Are you talking about me or?
Well, no, I'm talking about Joe and JT's parents.
I was like, whoa. Okay.
Should we
get the podcast therapist in?
Who's the podcast therapist?
I don't know. There's got to be someone out there.
Which one of our guests would make the best therapist, Steven?
Ooh, that's a good question, Jared. I don't know that I have a good answer.
I don't either.
It's C. It's C, but I don't know if I would enjoy that.
Oh, it wouldn't go well for you.
C can cut you like a knife, man.
Yep. Oh, it'd be healing, but it would also be devastating.
I'm scared of C in general.
That's fair.
That's not true.
Anyway,
yeah, they get their letters. Some people need love. So love your family members, please. At Timbira, Tyson says, out of all the challenges, I wanted to win that one the most. Aaron talks about, oh, this poor Brennan. He's back on exile. Nice of him to pick Taj, or nice of him not to pick Taj. Just let her have a break. But why Steven?
Who's to say?
And then Tyson goes right at it. I think Brennan is trying to build relations with the other tribe. He's got to go next.
And this is why I think that no matter who Brendan picked, he was in a tough spot. Because he doesn't go because he's going to make a deal with Fishbach. He just goes because he's trying to build relationships with multiple mm-hmm. people.
Sure. And Deb says, you cannot tell Sierra. She will not be on board with us in this move.
We'll just leave that there for next time they go to tribal.
Coach says he's making strong allies. If we merge, he has control of the game, and I'm a bystander, and I certainly don't want that to happen.
No, I guess you don't, Coach.
And then we get Coach.
And remember when Aaron was the target on this tribe?
Uh-huh.
She's just going, okay.
Yep.
Brendan it is.
Don't stop your opponents when they're making mistakes.
Obviously.
Coach then does what we did this evening and analyzes the wind and the storms and says, no, it's just going to go right past us. Don't even worry about it. Cut to storm.
Okay, to be fair, it wasn't that bad, though. We got there with volleyball. We went to have a drink at the bar off the beach. And then, like, wind came through and we were like, oh, no, the radar kind of lied to us. It's going to be bad. And then I scootered back and it was like 10 minutes of rain.
Nah, it was
fine.
It wasn't awful. But there was certainly a turn where it went, okay, There's a storm out over the lake. That seems like it could be an issue.
It's time to go.
And then it turned directly toward us, and we're like, yep, okay, we need to go home now.
Yeah, I do love the editing here of Coach being like, it's going to be fine, and then immediate downpour, and he looks like a jackass.
Aaron, Coach is kind of a jackass. He keeps running his mouth about the weather. He wants to be like this survivor man.
If Coach has zero haters, me and Aaron are dead.
I would not be surprised if Coach said, gotcha, I'm an accountant. I've never left Nebraska. That's a great line from Aaron.
It sure is.
I love that.
I want Aaron to stay around just so we have somebody to, like, trash Coach in confessionals.
But she's on Coach's side here.
Yes and no. She's on the anybody but me side.
That's a good side to be on.
Yeah, especially when you were the target a few days ago.
It's true.
You go, you want to be Brendan? Sure, yeah, we've always hated Brendan. Sounds great.
All my homies hate Brendan.
You go full 1984. Like, we've always been at war with Oceania.
There is no Warren Bossingse. Maybe that's our podcast t-shirt.
What?
All my homies hate Brendan.
All my homies hate Brendan. Which, no, because I actually like Brendan. He seems cool.
I know, he's great. Anyway, at Exile, Brendan is talking with Fishbach. Hey, you chatted with Taj about our deal? Yeah. Eye of the Idol, everything's great. Awesome. The four-person alliance has both idols. Fishbach says, hey, Brennan's positive. He's mentally strong. He's strategically strong. Great. But it's hard to trust someone you've only known for 5 minutes.
I guess. Like, yes. Don't trust him. Trust Taj.
Yeah. And he kind of wraps it up with a, there's no need for me to rely solely on this alliance.
Keep your options open.
If things aren't going my way, I'm not going to bank on this going that direction.
This does feel like it's setting the seeds for this alliance to fall apart.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know that's what's going to happen, but if it does, this is the foreshadowing.
Who goes first?
Fishbach. Like, I think Taj leaves, or Taj gets voted out, but I think Fishbach is the first one to, like, leave the alliance and work with somebody else or somebody's else instead. Because that's the perspective we're getting is like, Taj is in, Brendan's in, Sierra's in, Fishbach.
At Jalapau, Sydney has a dream. Her boyfriend has chips and salsa in hand. There's an earthquake. It's the weirdest dream. But it was nice to see my boyfriend.
Okay, I have questions immediately.
Uh-huh.
First of all, those are you say it's the weirdest dream, and those are the only details you have. So either, one, you're the most boring person to ever exist, or two, you are leaving out details, or you don't remember them.
Maybe she doesn't have, well, probably that.
Yeah.
Maybe she doesn't have dreams very often.
That's fair.
I don't dream.
I remember. I dream every night. Good I'm also you. Insane.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's not fair. I dream. I don't remember my dreams because they immediately go away.
Sometimes I remember mine for hours afterwards and they fuck with me.
Are they sexy dreams?
Not usually.
Oh, damn.
Sometimes. Sometimes they're just memories I relive.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, sometimes that's tough. Anyway, this isn't therapy.
Anyway.
But the other question I had for Sydney is, and I think I've gotten past the name thing. Look at that. Good anyway.
You said it. Now you're going to screw it up later.
You are playing a game based on being a flirt.
Uh-huh.
You don't know that Spencer is gay, though maybe she's picking up on something. Don't talk about your boyfriend. Like, if your strategy is to be a flirt, don't talk about how you're going to marry your boyfriend when you're home.
Sorry, Jared, I have a boyfriend. Don't talk to me, I have a boyfriend.
You are making your weapon less lethal by doing that.
Set phaser to stun.
It is harder to make people fall in love with you with that parameter you have now provided, which seems to be your strategy, and it's a good strategy.
Uh-huh. She did say she woke up and said, I have to marry that man.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm referring to.
So, no girls, Spencer? Well, there are pretty girls at my campus at UF. I'm assuming Florida?
Probably.
Yeah, but I'm not in a rush to get in a relationship. We'll get there when we get there. Haven't told my tribe I'm gay.
What a fucking hard cut.
Yeah. It's honestly, he did not perjure himself. There are pretty ladies at University of Florida, and also I'm not in a rush to get in a relationship. Yeah. Those two sentences are not lies.
Or married, because at the time, he can't.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Yeah, it is interesting because this is the first intentionally closeted player we have. Someone that's out in their real life but is not out to the other contestants. And at first I was like, why? Because we have seen queer contestants do quite well. It actually seems like the mm-hmm. show handles this very well. And then he mentions JT.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because, I get it now.
And, like, I'm not accusing JT of being homophobic, but I can understand why.
I'm not. Spencer kind of did.
Well, no, I don't even think Spencer did. I think Spencer was saying, hey, he's a good old boy Southern guy, and why take this risk? Like, I don't know if those are his values or not, but it doesn't help me to tell him. It can only hurt me, so fuck it.
Exactly. That's what he says. There's no reason for me to do this right now because I don't think it's going to gain me any points here. It's going to actually put me in a worse spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's smart.
People might just get rid of me because I am gay.
Yeah, and even if it's not like... I don't know if... I think there are very few contestants we've seen in any of the seasons that would target someone only for being gay. But I could see it being a tiebreaker.
Exactly. People... We've seen in the past that the other is a huge factor.
Uh-huh.
Being an other in any sort of circumstance can get you voted out.
Yeah.
And in this scenario, that's an other.
Yep. Yeah, especially, I mean, it's literally the phrase is like tribal, meaning to like your core group around you, and they are in a tribe. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's move on to the immunity challenge. We have two people launching balls at their tribe mates, and they have to catch them in kind of a lacrosse net, kind of a butterfly net situation. Yeah.
I love this challenge, but now we have broken Boo's ACL and JT's tooth. Is it time to retire it?
The same challenge, isn't it?
It's the exact same challenge.
This is a different landscape than the other one.
Sure. Like
it was a little more puddly.
It was, well, yeah, and they had these hard wood dividers up.
Yeah.
That also fucked up Joe's knee.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty rough. And Zhao Pao gets up 2-0 because JT is a monster at this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, JT is me in my Marvel Rivals games recently.
Oh, my God.
Like, my team ain't doing shit, but he is trying everything he can to carry this.
It's fascinating, too, that... I would like to... This is one of those where I want to sit in on the rules meeting. And be like, so why exactly did the Joe catch in hand not count?
Well, right. And also, why can Taj just wrap herself around someone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're the team that's losing, you could just fucking tackle everyone to the ground and stalemate it out forever, technically.
I mean, you're right, but...
Jeff would do something there, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird. After the second one, Joe says, hey, I hurt my knee back there. Or after the one he catches in his hand.
Yeah.
He hurts his knee. How important do you think that's going to be?
Well, first of all, why are you telling the enemy this?
It is true. He said that directly to Coach.
Which, I guess, if he's in a lot of pain, you're probably not thinking clearly, humanizing moment, whatever. I'm not going to judge him too harshly on it. I did write down, how wild would it be if he also tore his ACL? Because Stephen D tear his ACL.
I'm not going to say anything.
Your face said a lot.
I'm not going to say anything.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it could be quite significant. He didn't do anything else for the rest of the challenge, basically.
That would be a real unfortunate position if you were, say, like a quarterback for the NFL and you just tore your ACL and lose an entire year. But then maybe you go to like a darkness retreat or something. I don't know.
That was his Achilles.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. I thought you were doing it. No, JJ McCarthy tore his ACL.
He tore a lot of things.
Yeah, he tore his whole fucking knee up.
I think he tore his meniscus, actually.
Well, regardless.
Anyway.
But yeah, Joe's already been invisible, but he could get old Yellard here.
Gotta put you down, Joe.
I guess like a horse. Hurt your leg? Nah, we're not coming back from that.
Yeah. So then we have the revenge of the Brennan. And Brennan catches two before Taj just essentially starts tackling every round.
Yeah.
Why did you put Taj on Brennan?
I don't know.
He is the most mobile of that tribe.
Well, okay, Tyson.
Wait, I take back. Yeah, Tyson. Tyson, then Brennan.
Yeah. Who was on Tyson? Because then Tyson runs the whole rest of this.
It was, it's Spencer.
Oh,
because that
yeah.
then becomes the storyline. Mm. Is why does Tyson get so open? And he is being, like, Spencer's being yelled at by JT and by Joe. Like, you're not doing a good job of covering him. Just rough him up. Do something.
Fuck him up.
Yeah.
Which, like, again, what are the rules? Can you just, like, take the net out of his hand? Like, what is the line?
Oh, you could certainly just smack a guy across the face with a tennis racket here, because JT takes one to the face. He catches it, but then he loses half a tooth.
Is that? I thought he hit it on the ground. I didn't realize it was off of a racket.
It was Ooh. Definitely a racket.
Oh my god! How? Oh my god! A tooth being broken in half?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he just like throws it away, and Jeff's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Hold on."
He's in shock.
You might want that tooth.
Although, like, it's not a finger, Jeff. You can't reattach it.
You can reattach teeth.
No, I don't think you. Not a half a tooth. You can put maybe a tooth that's like ripped out by the root, but like you can't. How would you reattach a tooth to itself?
Tooth glue.
The sponsor of this podcast.
No, I'm thinking this through because my sister had something happen like this once. Like she got kicked in the face during a basketball game and had to have like emergency surgery that very night.
Well, even with that though, he's not getting the surgery.
No, he's not getting a surgery. But like maybe you want to hold on to that tooth just in case.
For sentimental reasons?
I don't know. I feel like getting a tooth chopped in half might be a situation where they're like, okay, game aside, let's do something about this. Let's call in the medic.
The medic, sure, but they have a pretty hard and fast rule. If you have to leave the game, you are out.
You're right. You're right.
So unless they can do tooth glue surgery in token sheens, he's going to keep going.
The token sheens tooth glue?
Sounds like a horrible sex act.
Anyway, Tyson gets the last three for Timbira to win this game, and JT just misses his last one, and he flips the fuck out on this. He's real upset.
Yeah. Well, he literally lost half a tooth for it.
He did, and yet doesn't win. So Timbira wins immunity, and JT's immediately throwing Spencer under the bus. He's like, it's gotta be Spencer. He needs to go. His effort was shit.
I don't think his effort was shit.
I don't think his effort was shit. They're asking him to do something that he is not capable of doing.
The tricky thing is, JT is a really fierce competitor. He was doing a really good job. His team lost, and he took a personal injury, and he needs a scapegoat to feel better about it. And are you going to get in the way of the bulldozer that is on a warpath that doesn't personally affect you? Or are you just going to sacrifice Spencer, especially when the guy lost half a fucking tooth over it?
Yeah. And really, you're putting this guy, who may not be the most like physically demanding person, on, I think, their best athlete in Tyson.
Probably, yeah.
Like, why isn't JT covering him?
Well, because I think they wanted JT to be the one catching them. And Joe should have been, but then Joe fucks up his knee.
He does fuck up his knee.
And then, so why is Joe not part of the conversation?
Why is Taj not part of the conversation? She gave up the first two.
She is, and she
is. She is. She is. Yeah.
I think Fishbox saves her, to be honest. That's okay. My suspicion, because we're going to get into it, but that whole crash out is insane.
It's a pretty good crash out. Yeah. So let's jump to Jalapau, and Taj says, I'm hot, as in frustrated. Joe and JT got beat up today. Spencer's play today was worse than anyone else here. And then when everyone's kind of gathering in the water, she goes off. She's like, everyone has to leave their little emotions out of it today and do what's best for the team. I'm hot today, so I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks about me. Everyone can kiss my ass. And everyone's just sitting there like, we didn't say anything about you.
Ma'am, this is a Wendy's.
This seems like some projection.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about projection. This is just like, this is an explosion that's out of like a lot of issues, a lot of like pent up frustration that isn't about the thing that she's flipping out about.
Sure.
And she goes after Joe specifically.
Yeah.
Like she, like, and partially because Fishbach and JT are both like, yes, we're with you. And Joe doesn't say anything. And she's like, why do you not like me? And he's like, I do. He's like, you never say you're with me. And he's like, it's a two-way street.
It can go both ways.
I wonder if they have some interpersonal issues, because this is also, remember when she had that weird crash out at Tribal where Jeff was pushing her about like, oh, does it bother you that Joe is flirting with Sydney and not you? And she was like, I was like, it seems like it's about something else and not about what Jeff is poking at. Like, now this is the second crash out aimed at Joe. And I don't know why.
Part of me goes, I don't know that this was aimed at Joe. Joe was just in the way.
She makes it about Joe.
She does a little bit. But it seems like just a general crash out. I need to yell at someone.
Sure.
And you guys are right here.
It's just odd that it's Joe both times.
That's fair.
Both of her meltdowns are aimed basically at Joe.
Fuck that guy in particular.
Maybe he's just easy to yell at. Maybe he just has one of those faces.
Yeah. It seems like, hey, can we talk through this thing? And Todd's like, oh, we can talk. Yeah. Let's do it. So, Joe, why haven't you come to strategize, as we talked before? Yeah. Ugh. And Steven says, this whole thing was an emotional outburst, but at least she's being honest.
He's really trying to spin this for her.
But then he comes back
around. Fishbach doing his fucking best, man. He comes back around.
I don't know. This could be a great thing for me, because she could go and I could pocket that idol tonight. It would be great for me. Hmm.
I think this is one of those confessionals from Fishbach that is a like 5-second clip pulled from a longer conversation where he then goes on to say, but I'm not going to do that. That would be actually ridiculous for my game.
Sure.
Like, I can do that at a later time, or like, she'll self-destruct another time. Taj is an ally. Joe is not. There's no reason for me. Or at least Taj is like way more loyal. Yeah.
Yeah. So then Taj goes up to camp and Spencer's there. He's like, they're talking about me, aren't they? And Taj's like, they're talking about we're just talking. And Spencer then goes down and switches positions and is like, so it's me, right?
And JT's like, maybe.
Probably. I don't know.
It's you or Taj.
One of the two. We'll think about it.
Ope.
And it was him. Anyway, yeah. Tribal. Tribal happens. A few things I pulled out. Spencer said, my performance was pretty pathetic. I let the team down. Taj talks about how she blew up. It was just a feeling that I was going out the door. And this is an interesting conversation that I wanted to have, but we're running.
We are running long.
So when you're feeling like you're going home, how do you control those emotions to still make rational decisions?
It's tough, right? And especially like you're hungry, you're dehydrated, you're exhausted. Like we haven't talked about it in a little while. People are not their best selves out here. But you have, like, the best players do.
Mm-hmm.
The best players can pull it back and make it someone else's, let someone else end up in the spotlight.
Yeah.
While still doing enough to stay in the game. And Taj gets away with it here, but I think it is more a Fishbach than her doing, to be honest.
Well, and Taj says, we're down to no more expendable people.
Yeah, which is interesting. It's just, I don't think I've heard people call their tribe mates expendable before. But she's right.
There are some expendable tribe mates.
There always are, but I haven't heard people talk about it that way.
Yeah. Let's be real. Sandy, pretty expendable.
Yeah. Useful for a little while because of her challenge prowess, but yeah, expendable.
Yeah.
And this season has a large number of not expendable people, which is great. That's why it's a good season.
That's what we like. And then Joe talks about how, well, we ask about the idol and that Taj has been to exile multiple times. She could have the idol. She hasn't said that she doesn't have the idol. So, I don't know. And Taj's like, do you want me to say it right now? I don't have the idol.
Well,
with an asterisk, currently.
That is true. She doesn't. This is Joe again, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So originally she says, you want me to say it? And he goes, no. And she's like, see, I can't win. Like, they're bickering again. And I'm like, what is, were you two, like, in the Eagles together? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
I think contextually that's different. I think she's talking about how in that situation, she's in a no win.
I know. It's just like, it's constant with them too.
Fair. Okay.
Also, why is Sydney not on the block? Like, Spencer and Taj, why are they more in danger than Sydney? Her name didn't come up. She's not involved in any of these conversations. What is she doing?
She's roped in with those guys.
Yeah, you're right.
She's at least like part of this conversation.
Yeah, I guess we just don't see it. It's just the three of them in the river.
Anyway, anything else you want to talk about in Tribal?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, then we vote, and Spencer is voted out
in a sweep.
He gone.
Yeah.
How do you think Spencer does in Future Survivor?
I feel bad for him here, because his... I don't think he knew he was on the outs. He's also very young.
He is very young.
And, like, if he had done the Boston Rob, if he had gotten the expendable people together, like, he had a shot, but that's not who he is. It's kind of a lazy comparison, but, like, I think kind of being Frosty is his ceiling, another younger competitor. It's just he does not have the killer instinct that you need on Survivor. He seems to be, I mean, we got very little of him, but like he seems to be a follower to not make these like strong relationships, to be somebody that like one challenge can get you to go home. Then again, I don't think he necessarily deserved to go home here. Mm. Like without JT's competitiveness and emotion, I think Taj is probably the better vote off. And so with that, like maybe his strategy of being the background actually would have worked out for him and he could have gone far. I guess what I'm trying to say is his instincts are pretty good, but his execution seems to be bad. So I think that he can usually make it farther. I think he can usually make the merge, but I don't see him being like a very relevant contestant. There didn't seem to be a lot of fight in him, you know? Mm. He seems like somebody that's trying to not come in last rather than trying to win.
Okay. Well, he does not come back.
Yeah.
And he does fill out a quarantine questionnaire, though, which is kind of fun here. He talks about his biggest regret that he took the experience too seriously. I put a lot of undue pressure on myself. I was the alternate. I was was told I made the cast 24 hours before filming started.
Jesus.
Yeah. Was the first teenager at the time. I was a super fan, and this was my dream.
No, you weren't. You weren't the first teenager. Frosty was a teenager.
I was... I've been out for less than a year as a homosexual, and I took a ton of insecurities about my sexuality into the game. I thought every move, conversation, and confessional had to be perfect.
Yeah, I could see that.
He talks about how it wasn't his sexuality or his challenge performance that got voted out. He says that it's an alliance that he had that got sniffed out.
Oh.
He says on day two, he made a pact with Joe and Sydney.
Okay.
And it wasn't shown because it was kind of irrelevant.
Interesting. Who sniffed it out? JT?
He says Stephen Fishbach.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That would make a lot of sense then if Fishbach revealed that to protect Taj.
That alliance failed me in large part because I didn't position myself in a way that made them trust me more than each other.
Hmm. Okay.
Steven, JT, and Taj were able to turn them on me and under the ruse of poor challenge performance and thus gain leverage in a tribe that propelled them forward.
Interesting. I wonder how much of that is revisionist history. Or like if JT being like so injured, frankly, and if that was enough to like sway them, we're like, yeah, we can lose Spencer, let's give JT this one. And how much that was purely the alliance, but that's really cool context.
This is funny. I don't know that I've ever seen this before. How do you feel about the edit you got? Totally fair. I was boring.
Okay.
I was extremely self-aware and concerned about things like, what will my grandma think when she watches? You must ignore the cameras, be yourself, and not give a fuck.
Fair.
I look back and completely understand the headspace I was in at 19, so in many ways, I'm grateful it's documented, so I fully comprehend how far I've come.
Good for him.
Nice. Love it. Cool. Your protagonist of the episode?
I think it's Fishbach.
Mm.
Yeah, we get a lot of him. He's the one with the idol now. He's the one that saves Taj. Yeah.
Cool. All right. That's it. Spencer's cover story was that he was going out of state for an internship to complete the semester.
Okay.
That's fun. I like that.
It wasn't that he had cancer.
He had cancer. But he lost 18 pounds during his time. That's crazy. 18 pounds in 15 days.
Wow. That's tough.
Anything else?
Nope. That's all.
Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Jared, what would you like to promote?
Scooter. I have a new one. Dude, I'm going to talk about it a lot next episode. I guarantee you that. It's the awesome AUSOM L2. Steven's had to hear this like four fucking times today. True. It's 85 pounds. It can go 40 miles an hour. I only take it 30 because 40 is insane. I have had it for 2 days and I've put like 60 miles on it. It is awesome. Highly, highly recommend it. This is not a paid plug. I just have upgraded and now I have a car, but I will probably like never use it.
If they do want to sponsor us, though, we'll take it.
We said we would never do advertising, Steven.
It's not an advertisement. It's a sponsorship.
You're right. That's fair. We are open to sponsorships.
If they want to give us a product and we say, you know what, we give our honest feedback the product, that's fine.
In the event that this would never happen, but like there was something that was like given to us for free, I would start it with this opinion is sponsored, so like take it with a grain of salt. But anyway, Steven, what do you want to promote?
I want to promote Chicago. It's real pretty sometimes. Like today, we were out on a beach and you could see the skyline and it's right there.
North Avenue Beach is amazing.
It's great. Yeah, I ran past there a lot when I was training for the marathon.
Insane.
It's not really that insane. A lot of people do it.
They shouldn't.
Every single day, I ran, like, multiple people ran that path with me.
Okay.
Like, a lot of people ran it.
Psychopaths.
For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
I'm sleepy.
I'm so sleepy.
Good night.
Good night and goodbye, or good morning. Hello.
Whatever you feel.